the Tuesday Afternoon Show. And welcome, Mr. Banta.
Thank you.
Let's make sure your mic is on. All right.
Let's do a test. Are you there, Ted?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Loud and clear. So I need to, so full disclosure, Ted and I met because when we came to Catskill, Ted was our real estate agent. And he helped us buy our house, which we're thrilled with, and then we've become friends. He's someone I admire greatly, and I'm thrilled to have him on the program. Thank you for being here.
Likewise.
Thank you. So before we jump into some real estate topics, I think it would be fun to share a little bit about you. Where are you from?
From New Jersey originally. My grandparents, though, owned a resort upstate in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. It was called the Banta's Lake Motel or Banta's Motor Court. It's on State Route 145 in Cairo. My father was raised up here, but I was not. But I came up here every year since I was a little kid. I just loved and adored the area, the Catskills. And, you know, living in Cairo was the ultimate for me. So we always wanted to come up. We always wanted to potentially reside here full time. Mm-hmm. So we came up here in 2002 full time. But again, every year since I was born, 1970, I was here up here visiting. My grandmother and I, our annual trip was to come up to the Catskills, to come up to local resorts. And that was a special time between my grandmother and I. Since that time, my father had always talked about in the 80s and 90s coming back to Cairo, getting back to Greene County, but it was never conducive. The time wasn't right for him. But eventually, I had a small family, two young children that
were
in school.
Now, wait a minute. Small family? How many children do you have?
Now I have five.
Yeah, that's right.
At that time, I had two. And we were always hoping to get up here full time. We did so in 2002, and we haven't looked back. It's just been phenomenal. It's a great place to raise a family.
Yeah, it is wonderful. And also, let's just mention, too, that you were a, I think it's a village trustee. Is that the correct verbiage? Because I know in Catskill it's a trustee.
The title would be town supervisor. Former town supervisor.
Thank you.
For the town of Cairo.
For the town of Cairo, yes.
Yes.
So you're very involved and dedicated to making the community a much better place to live for all people. That's one of the things that impressed me about you. So let's jump into real estate, shall we?
Yes.
All right. So I guess the first basic question is, how does someone interested in purchasing a home or property begin their search? What's your advice?
Right, and I believe like how we met online, right? So you were interested in some homes. And you were actually first interested in Hudson in the Columbia County area. We started there. And then fatefully, you were further interested in Catskill and decided to look at some homes in Catskill the weekend that you visited. And you're originally from Oregon. Right, so it was a special treat to have you come visit our area, visit Columbia County, and lo and behold, you were interested in Greene County and ultimately Catskill. You were looking online. You emailed me several properties that you were interested in seeing. Mm-hmm. We scheduled those properties, and we began our search. And that same weekend, night after we looked at some of those properties, you had an interest in Catskill, and we scheduled within the same weekend properties for Catskill for you to see, and then you just simply found what you wanted, enjoyed the area, learned about the area. But
frankly, you know, when we came in, I had done a residency in the mountains of Catskill, didn't know there was a village, so it was a big surprise once we got here. We started searching in Hudson, and then lo and behold, we discovered the village. Via Amanda at the Spotty Dog, who told us all about it. And so we came over and we found a house immediately that we loved. So we're very lucky.
Right. So first and foremost, you were looking online, correct? So
yes.
91-92% of the people who are buying a home, purchasing a home or property are looking online.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at some of the top venues. Sometimes people will go directly to multiple listing services. But quite frankly, some of the top venues out there, the top four are Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, and Homes.com. Those are the top four venues. But there are many. There's plentiful out there to find real estate, find a way to search homes, and they're so user-friendly now. But before you even begin, like, what would be important for you?
I was going to ask you, so what are the right questions that one needs to pose? And along with that, why should someone have a real estate agent? What exactly do you do and are you going to do for the client?
Right. So important. So it would be very important for someone to identify someone they want to work with. So a purchaser should identify why they're looking at homes. Working with an agent, contact an agent, maybe look at their resume, see if they have any accreditations. Are they local to the area that they're looking into, which is very important to have that special knowledge of the area, mm-hmm. to know the area well. And ultimately, I mean, I always recommend people look for a realtor, right? So sometimes the word realtor and licensed agent or real estate agent, those phrases can be used interchangeably. And they're not necessarily interchangeable because you can be a licensed agent – but not a realtor. So what's a realtor, right? Mm-hmm. A realtor, if I can explain, that goes the next step. So in the various states, you can go and license yourself to conduct real estate, to perform the real estate practice, and then after which you can then subscribe or join the National Association of Realtors. By doing so, you'd be joining a local board association, the state association, the national association. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you're an advocate for homeownership. You're an advocate for your clients. You subscribe by doing so to a code of ethics and professional standards. And a licensed agent is not. They're not beholden to those code of ethics or professional standards. Now, they have an obligation within state law, real estate law, to deal with their clients fairly and honestly. But the realtor organization has taken it to another step. They want a level of competence, integrity, and trust and fairness for their organization and for licensed agents. Especially, it's one of the most important things that you'll do, right? It's purchase a home.
Absolutely.
Or sell a home.
Absolutely. So help us clarify the difference between a buyer's agent and, I guess, the client's agent. I guess those are the two sides of the equation, right?
So, yeah.
Because as a real estate agent, you could represent someone who wants to buy a home, but you could also be the representative of someone selling a home.
Correct.
So let's talk about the difference between the two.
Right, so there's various agencies. So you have a seller's agent. Sometimes it can get a little bit complicated or a little confusing. It's always so important to get the opportunity to explain more, to take the time in the beginning when you're working with your clients to explain. Mm-hmm. If you're selling a home, you're a selling agent. You might hear them referred to as a listing agent. But when you sign on with the agency disclosure in the state of New York, they allow for buyer representation, they have an agency disclosure. They want it very clear to the consumer, to the customer, to the client, and what role you're acting. Again, so as a listing agent, you're actually a selling agent. And then as a buyer, you would be retaining a buyer's agent. You'd be acting in the capacity of a buyer's agent. And then there are other roles that you could take on. There's a dual agency status, a dual agency with designated agency. Those we don't really need to talk about. They get a little complicated. Mm. But most importantly, if you're looking for a home, you want an advocate. You want someone who represents you, that will keep your interests confidential, that has a fiduciary role, which they call it, to you. So you want a buyer's agent. Sometimes that can get clouded. For example, let's say you wanted to see, when we were shopping, you didn't want to see any of the listings that I had. They didn't fit your criteria, so it never became an issue or an item that we had to discuss. I was always acting in the role of a buyer's agent. But in such a case, if you're looking at some homes and they happen to be your buyer's agent's listings, then another discussion has to unfold, whether or not that agent's going to act in a dual agency capacity. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, you want to retain a buyer's agent, someone who's going to represent you.
So in your opinion, should a buyer contact the listing agent directly? I mean, if you've already formed an agreement to have an agent work on your behalf, it seems a little odd to think about then just going out and contacting buyer's agents directly. You would want your agent to do that, correct?
Right. So, so important when someone contacts the listing agent directly, you know, the listing agent is going to represent the interests of the seller, and they must. So mm-hmm. when a buyer's looking to contact a listing agent, they do it because of brevity, or they're just trying to get a contact, maybe get a scheduled appointment. Mm-hmm. Find out from your buyer's agent, the person that you really want to work with, you know, what type of time do they have to spend with you? You know, can they meet your goals? Let's say, you know, you're looking at a 3 or 6 month time frame to move or relocate or purchase a home. But say it's quicker. You want to make sure that your agent has the time. And if your agent has the time, keep feeding them the properties that you're interested in, as opposed to calling directly to the listing agent. The listing agent would rather you, especially if you are represented, if you're going to be mm-hmm. using representation, a buyer's agent, as we've been discussing, that the buyer's agent calls them and schedules them, as opposed to, you know, them dealing with you, answering questions. They would rather you continue on with your representation. So don't contact the listing agent directly. I know it just sometimes seems easier to do so. Hmm. Maybe you can more easily.
Well, it seems more immediate. I mean, you know, when you're sitting there at 11 o'clock at night and you've made a list of 10 new homes you want to check out, there's an excitement about getting up, the next morning and starting to make those calls.
Absolutely.
But one understands the sort of protocol, I guess, of working with the agent you've already engaged.
Right.
Seems appropriate.
Right. Exactly.
And also, I assume your agent would have their own set of questions based on experience to ask the buyer's agent in terms of, or the seller's agent, I guess, what it is that, you know, you have in mind that what your client's needs are, so you can refocus and direct those questions accordingly.
Certainly, it's a matter of practice. Mm-hmm. So yes, you're going to distill that information, filter that information, so that you can find out directly from the listing agent or seller's agent, you know, is this home suitable for your buyer? Mm-hmm. And then you can relay that information on. So it becomes a relationship, a partnership. And as such, you develop some nice relationships out of it. For example, you and I, we became friends.
Yeah.
And now we're doing radio together, which is just such a pleasure. But so, you know, it's a reciprocal relationship. So it's important that a consumer, customer, or purchaser know that even though if their buyer's agent or their agent isn't readily available, just give them a little bit of time to, you know, conduct their business, get back to you, hopefully quickly, and to get your things done, taken care of, scheduled, whatever it is that, that may mean for you.
So actually on that note, what should someone or a couple or a single person, if they're thinking about, you know, now's the right time in my life to actually buy a home, what should they prepare before contacting an agent? What should they do to set themselves up for a successful experience?
Right, great questions. Most importantly, obviously, you want to know whether or not you have the financing involved or if you have the cash funds. More importantly, you want to contact a mortgage broker if you're going for financing, a local mortgage broker. You can contact an agent first and ask for referrals if it's an agent you trust, or maybe an agent that's been referred to you if you're not so sure about just simply going online. You can go online, shop for local mortgage brokers. Sometimes that is very important to do so that that local mortgage person knows the area, knows what home you may be buying, or the general area, general circumstances of that purchase. Or simply you could use online venues in order to get pre-qualified.
I assume you're also going to do like a credit check to see how good your credit is, which will tell you or give you parameters for understanding what kind of loan you might be applicable for.
Right.
Correct.
And there's a couple of different processes. So, for example, a mortgage broker or a bank may simply give you a pre-qualification. That may be a 15 to 20 minute phone call. And then resources have to be verified. After that, or income sources, different various resources might have to be verified, and then you'll gain a pre-approval. Some banks or mortgage brokers will go directly to a pre-approval process. Well, they're going to want to verify your income sources and verify the things that you've stated, whether it be income, whether it be assets, etc. But it could be as easy as a 15 to 20 minute conversation with a local mortgage broker, or you can go online and get pre-qualified online with a good online agency. Just always do your research.
Now, it is to your advantage. I mean, I should say me, if I'm going to go out to buy a home and I'm pre-approved and I've got the letter, that works in my favor, right? Because if I go to a home, I like it. I assume one of the first questions that's going to come my way is about money.
Absolutely.
Are you pre-qualified? Do you have an approval letter?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you want to be prepared to buy. I mean, just for yourself, for your own purposes, you go and you find a home that you like. You're so excited to go search for a home. You go out, you take a look at three or four homes, you find something that you really like, but you're not pre-qualified yet. And then you can't place a bid on it because you have to be able to verify that you have the resources to purchase the home in order for the seller to acknowledge the purchase offer, maybe negotiate with you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because the home that we eventually got, it sort of was kind of available for at least 9 months. And the weekend we looked at it and decided we wanted it, there were three other bids, if I remember correctly, that same weekend.
Yes.
So being prepared with a pre-qualified letter is a huge asset at that moment.
Right.
Correct?
So then you're not delayed. And there have been people who have lost a home because they had to then go get pre-qualified. In the industry, we always try to have that conversation with our buyers or purchasers. They're excited to go see a home, but we do need to speak with them about their resources to buy. Some people have the resources for cash, and then therefore they just need a proof of funds. A proof of funds, we call it in the industry, they just need a bank account with their name on it with the amount that the offer is for. If they're buying a home that's $80,000 and they're making a $70,000 offer, then we just need to see a bank account for our own purposes. And then when we move it along with the offer, they need to verify that you have the amount that you're making the offer for. Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the biggest mistakes or common mistakes that people will make entering the real estate market for the first time?
Entering the real estate, one, not being represented. That's the most important thing, right?
So you want to be... said the real estate agent, right? But you believe in that firmly.
Yes, and I know I'm probably redundant at this point after the conversation that we had, but it's so important. Here's a case. Here's an example. In the seller's market, there was a gentleman who became a client of mine. I didn't represent him as a buyer's agent. Came up and purchased a multifamily dwelling with cash. Spent I think it was in 2006, $325,000. The market was doing well at that time. It was a seller's market. People had a lot more money to invest and spend. Mm-hmm. He wound up selling that property probably about two and a half years ago at a loss. Mm-hmm. He sold it for $135,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now he bought it high. He bought it from an owner that had some objectionable practices, if you will, that many local people may have been aware of and could have advised him of, but he went directly to the listing agent. And as a result, he made a poor investment. He realized that. He did the best he could. He was as good of a landlord as he could be, as good of an owner. He couldn't make the property work.
Still, it's a heartbreaking story to think about trying to make that kind of investment.
Absolutely.
And then to lose that significant amount of money.
So again, you know, unfortunately, right. I go back to the representation factor.
Right.
Doing research, doing due diligence. We're mm-hmm. in a buyer beware state, New York State, right?
So please tell us what that means.
Well, it means that, you know, buyers need to do their due diligence. There's only certain obligations by the seller to provide information. There is a property condition disclosure mm-hmm. that you can request in the state of New York for a home, for a multifamily dwelling of one or two units, and if the seller does not provide one, the buyer will get a $500 credit at closing. But there's not too many disclosures that the sellers are required or owners are required to make about a home. So you have to do your due diligence. You have to do your research. And some of the things that would be important to do, simply obviously researching the house online. There's so much public data out there. The next step would obviously be when you make an offer.
So by researching, that could include looking what the home sold for previously or several times going back 20 years.
Yes.
So you can see the market and how it builds or falls.
Yes.
Correct? And that would be a logical setup for knowing if your price is reasonable.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
And we're so fortunate now to have online venues, websites that aggregate all that information mm-hmm. as opposed to many different websites to go to for different mm-hmm. public information. Now, I mean, again, information is king. So they're aggregating all that information in one venue quite often. You could research schools. You could research the demographics. You could research price history, the previous sales of that particular property, and within the neighborhood. And then some venues obviously provide estimates for the homes. And so those are all quite helpful. You want to do an inspection to a property. You want to do mm-hmm. If you're buying a home that's $125,000 or $350,000, you really do want to make the investment of spending $500 to $700 on a home inspection. So important. And
So for those that haven't done that, you're hiring an outside person who's licensed.
Correct.
Hopefully. And will come in and do what we would call an examination of the property.
Correct.
You look at things like the roof, the foundation, the electrical work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they're obligated to give you both photographs and a written report at the end of it, detailing what they think the flaws of the home might be. So you have a better idea of what you're getting into financially. Is that correct?
Correct. And okay. Fortunately, in the state of New York, they did at some point several years back. It might have been 2011 where they required home inspectors to be licensed. So thankfully, they are a licensed agent of the state. So they have laws that they have to abide by in order to mm-hmm. practice mm-hmm. their profession and in their industry. So they'll give a competent report. And then, you know, that's a whole part of you doing your due diligence. You have an opportunity to do various inspections with that, a structural inspection, a radon, pest.
Radon is required by the state, correct?
No, it is not. It is not required by the state. It's almost a la carte. So you can choose to do additional inspections.
Would you please explain what that is so people know?
So you could choose to do different inspections depending on what maybe your lender requires of you. Mm-hmm. If you're purchasing a home cash or a conventional loan, there may be less requirements involved. There may be water tests involved for specific lending programs. Mm-hmm. There may be pest tests required or examinations. And it will depend on the loan, more or less. The inspection process is basically your choice.
Okay, and so the radon specifically is?
Oh, radon is for a colorless, odorless gas that emits from the ground through rocks. And if you have a basement, actually quite often, even if you don't have a basement, it's still good to test your house. Most often, the rule of thumb was that if you had a basement, you would test. Mm-hmm. If you had a living space in the basement, you would definitely test. But now, even with crawl spaces, people are testing their first floors for radon. Interestingly enough, there were many radon tests, never failed, in Greene County. But I don't know if you were here at the time, but we had a tremor, a little earthquake that came through the Northeast several years back. And I could never attribute why after I didn't realize, put it together until I was in a class, why a lot of radon tests have begun to fail over the last several years, whereas they never failed in our area. I was in a class with a group of inspectors, and I had posed the question, did anything geologically shift? And they had stated that with the earthquake tremor, obviously there was a geological shift, and that could be the cause of why we have more radon tests failing than not. So it's very important to do that. I would spend all the money doing the various tests, pest tests, water septic tests and examinations, as well as radon, and your basic structural. And even for your structural, which is a basic inspection, your lender may require it.